Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, Neil here, and I am so glad to be continuing our Legends and Misfits series. Thank you, David Gordon, for that wonderful introduction, for doing the communion and emceeing the service. Why don't you show your appreciation to David? Get that in the chat. We are so blessed by great young men and women serving God, part of Apex Church. Well, today I want to speak on a character that we find in the Old Testament. His name is Eliezer. We find his story in the second book of Samuel, and he's referred to as one of David's mighty men. When I read the scripture in a moment, you'll discover that he faced circumstances which literally were against all odds, and yet in the midst of this battle, this fight, he saw God come through for him. Victory belongs to the Lord. So I really pray today that God is going to speak to you through this short talk. I've been praying all week and really got a sense just as I was preparing this that there's someone listening to my voice and you need to hear this. Maybe you're at the point of giving up on your Christian walk. Maybe you're at the point of wondering if the struggle is worth it anymore. Maybe you've just felt that you've gone as far as you can. And I feel that the Spirit of God has given me this word, and if it's only for you, to encourage you and tell you to keep on going, to hold on, not to give up, then I believe that it's time well spent. So let this be the encouragement that the Holy Spirit is bringing into your life and your world right now. I'm reading from 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 to 12. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb-Bashabeth, the Tachmonite. Well, there's a mouthful right there. Chief among the captains, he was called Adino the Esnite. That's easier. Let's just refer to him as Adino, because he had killed 800 men at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. After him was Shammah, the son of Agee the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. When Christopher, our youngest son, was at primary school, it was actually primary 7, we became aware that he was being bullied because of his curly hair and slightly darker skin. We did not realize this until one day Phyllis was down in the town center here in Peterhead, and Christopher was with us. Here in the town precinct at that time, you often saw a lot of youngsters on skateboards. And Chris was with his mom in the car, and when he saw these boys, who obviously were from his class by his reaction, he sort of bowed his head and tried to hide. Phyllis said to Chris, "What's wrong, son?" "Nothing, mom, nothing, mom." But when she prodded a little bit more, she discovered that they were mocking him because of his curly head. In fact, they were calling him Pineapple Head. Well, that, I guess, at my age, that doesn't mean much. In fact, I'd be glad to have enough hair that someone would say that. But to a youngster, that really affected him quite a bit. Well, Phyllis got out of that car. She went up to those youngsters. They didn't have a clue who she was. She went, you, and you, come here right now. Nervous, anxious, and afraid, they made their way. Not a clue what was going on. She says, "Christopher Cameron is my son, and I understand that you've been calling him names and bullying him. Don't you ever do that again. If you do, I'm going to come to your homes, I'm going to speak to your parents, and we will deal with this situation." Well, Christopher had very little trouble after that. And Phyllis was telling me this story again just recently, and I was just reminded of that fighting spirit. And I feel that over this pandemic time, and as we're sort of coming out of it, I think that it is time for us as Christians to get that fighting spirit within us once again. I'm not talking about a fight against each other. I'm referring to that determination that when the enemy, the devil, Satan, comes our way, that we're not going to give up, that we're not going to lie down, that we're not going to be bullied, and we're not going to be intimidated, but we're going to face him head to head, toe to toe, because we realize that our Father is in heaven, and Jesus right now is making intercession for us, and God has empowered us through the Holy Spirit to do great things. One of the things that I'm very aware of is during COVID and during this pandemic, so much has changed and we've adjusted. And initially, of course, it was strange. It was weird. You know, we had to stay at home and all those restrictions were on us. And it felt a bit, you know, this is, you know, very strange, very weird. But I've noticed something, that very quickly people became adjusted and acclimatized to what was happening, that we actually probably got quite comfortable in our homes and doing a bit of exercise and whatever was going on. And what started off as a disruption, actually, most of us, or many of us, got lulled into this sense of, well, maybe I can just go along with this. Now, I think one of the good things about the pandemic is it's helped us get to things in context. What's important? What's right? What's of value? Perspective. And I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the fact that many Christians in their walk, and I've had several conversations around this, many Christians are at the point right now of, hey, let's just take our ease, you know. Let's not rock the boat. Let's just take our time. You know, I'm not feeling it like I used to. That sense of fire of the fire of God burning within me isn't burning like it used to, but that's all right. And I've discovered something, that what the enemy cannot do by bringing a storm, the enemy can do by lulling us into a sense of security, of let's just relax. Let's just take it easy. And I want to remind you this morning, Christian friend, we are in a battle. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When you gave your heart to Jesus, when you committed yourself to him, when you crossed that line, you went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And at that point, the enemy had an assignment against you and against your life. Now, let me say very clearly, I am not a devil chaser. There are some people, whatever goes wrong, it's the devil. You know, if you've got a sniffle, it's the devil. You know, if you can't find a parking space, it's the devil. That's not what I'm referring to. But I am so aware, especially this week, that the enemy is going to do anything he can for you, my Christian friend, to constrain you, to constrict you, to restrict you, to get you to that place that, hey, what's the point anymore? I'm just going to sort of take my ease through life. And that is the lie of the enemy. And I want to encourage you through this talk. It's time to get our fight in our spirit again. It's time that we're reminded that we serve a living God who has an incredible purpose and destiny for us. A God who has a plan for our life. The Bible says he has good things for us. And in this time of war, we must lift up the name of Jesus, put on the whole armor of God, and fight to the end. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. In the book of Revelations, chapter 12, verse 11, we read this, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the end." Listen, my friend, that was putting it all on the line. They were all in. They were committed to the battle. And maybe you're feeling the pressures of life right now. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a financial constraint. Maybe there are things happening in your world and you're feeling the combination punches of the enemy. Why? Because the enemy wants to stop you. He wants to abort you. He wants to hold you back. He wants to push down the mission and the purpose of your life. And that's why the prophet Joel said these words, "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. If you feel weak and inadequate right now, here's what God's word says to you. Let the weak say, I am strong. Not I'm discouraged. Not I'm a failure. Not it's over. Not I'm destroyed. Not I'm forsaken. In fact, we need to get like that barren woman in Isaiah 54 who was told, barren woman, sing, shout for joy. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your curtains wide. Lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. My friend, we have been given a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are crucified with him. We are the righteousness of Christ in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And right now, that apathy you're feeling, that sense of discouragement you're feeling, that sense of what's the point that you're feeling, I want you to realize that the enemy can use that to hold you down and hold you back. And that's why as Christians, it is so important that we know our adversary, the devil, that we know our armor, the armor of God that we can put on. But also know this, that we have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ. And when we look at this character, Eliezer, we see attributes of a champion, a winner. Just two verses do we read about him. And his name actually means God is helper. Well, he needed the help of someone. Someone that could actually do something against the overwhelming odds. Man could not do that. It was only God. And maybe right now you're facing overwhelming odds. I want to encourage you. God is your helper. So what happened in the story of Eliezer? Well, three quick points that I want to share with you. Because we discover that the people retreated when they faced opposition. But what did Eliezer do? He stood his ground. There was a war cry. There was a lot of pretense, but no substance. Let's go to battle. Let's fight against the enemy. A lot of talk, but very little action. But for Eliezer, this was a defining moment. Because what happened? His harvest field became a battlefield. And right now, the very place where I believe that God wants you to produce, that God wants you to bring forth fruit, that God wants you to see success in your life, maybe it's the very place that you're feeling your greatest battle. But I want you to contend like Eliezer, that he stood his ground. He was alone and I guess perhaps misunderstood. His friends would have looked at him and said, are you crazy? What are you doing? They took to their heels. They ran. But Eliezer, he wasn't swayed by public opinion. And he didn't go along with what everyone else was doing. Why? Because he had a sense of purpose and of destiny. And perhaps for Eliezer, perhaps he remembered Captain David, the story of David and Goliath. Perhaps he remembered hearing David tell the story over and over again, that when he went to the battle, and once again, everyone is sort of frozen. No one would go and fight against the giant. But David says that when everyone else was afraid and fearful, when everyone else was dismayed, what did David do? He was not swayed by public opinion. He asked this question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? In other words, David says, wait a minute. Circumcision is a sign of the covenant we have with God. And David was saying these words, folks, we have a promise and a covenant with the living God. And regardless of how loud the enemy is shouting, we know that if God be for us, who can be against us? And perhaps Eliezer at that moment when everyone else retreated and gave up, his mind went back to that story and he thought, wait a minute, the same God that David serves is the God that I serve. And when others give up and when others want to retreat and when others are determined that enough is enough, Eliezer was so consumed by the purposes of God that he stayed to fight the battle. They were consumed. That's why Adino was able to fight 800 men. Did you hear what I said? 800 men at once. That's why Shammah positioned himself right in the middle of a field of lentils. Why? They were determined to finish and finish strong. And that's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, having done all, stand. Putting on the armor of God, you don't know what else to do. You feel that you're in quicksand. You feel your world is crumbling. You're disappointed with friends and family. You feel forsaken. I want you to do something right in this moment, my Christian brother, my Christian sister. Don't you turn and run, and don't you give up on God. The Bible says, having done all, stand. Put on his armor and stand and see God come through for you. When you look in the New Testament at the incredible trials that Paul faced, we discover that Paul was in jail, but listen, but jail was not in him. He never ever surrendered to circumstances. That's why you could say in 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But even with all that going on, what does Paul do when he's in prison? He writes the prison epistles where he brings encouragement that we still read today. Why? Because he was determined not to give up. He was determined not to go back, but he was determined that he was going to write something to encourage his brothers and sisters, which today encourages and inspires us. He says in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Is it any wonder that Jesus himself, with a burning passion, was able to say, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work? And I want to encourage you, my friend, stand your ground. If people are giving up on you, stand your ground. If your heart is breaking right now, stand your ground. If you feel that there's no point going on, stand your ground. Put on the armor of God and determine that you are going to finish the race and the purpose that God has for you. Could you imagine when we get to heaven being asked the question, what did you do with the skills, the talents, the opportunities, and the resources that I gave you? You know, sadly, when you look in the scripture, you see many people that started well but finished badly. We read about Noah, who ends up drunk and naked in a tent. Very little is said about him after that. Isaac was the child of promise for Abraham and Sarah. Only one chapter is given to him directly. Samson ended up blind and ineffective. And Paul wrote about Demas. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Yes, my friend, I want to encourage you this morning. Stand your ground. But not only did Eliezer stand the ground, but he was committed to the battle. Listen, I've already said, overwhelming odds. But when others were retreating, he was not swayed or did not respond according to what other people did. Why? Because he realized this, that the battle is the Lord's. That's the perspective that we need. That's why David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? In other words, is there not a cause? And some of you are feeling confined and restricted and held back right now. You're trying to move forward in your Christian life. You're struggling in certain areas. You're saying to yourself, I'm never going to get victory over this. My friend, you need to realize something. The battle is the Lord's. All you need to do is commit yourself to him and commit yourself to stay in the battle. Don't believe everything you hear or everything you feel. Eliezer, the Bible tells us, that his hand was weary, but he was still committed to the battle. That's why Paul, writing in Galatians 6:9, says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And perhaps right now you're weary. You're weary praying for unsaved loved ones. You're weary desiring to do so much but producing so little, always falling at the hurdle. You're weary looking for a breakthrough but facing walls of apathy or indifference or resentment and opposition. My friend, commit yourself to the battle. even though you feel downtrodden, even though you feel exhausted, even though you think to yourself, I don't have the strength to go on, have the strength to commit. And in your commitment, see the hand of God come through on your behalf. And then listen to this. The Bible says for Eliezer that his hand was stuck to the sword. If you look at that in the original language, it literally means that his hand was welded to that sword. He clung to the sword. He had fought for so long with passion and determination that at the end of the battle, his hand was literally welded to the sword. Hebrews 4 and 12, we read these words. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That is the word of God. My friend, if you feel like giving up, if you feel you have no strength, if you feel weary and exhausted, I want to encourage you, like Eliezer, whose hand was stuck to the sword, hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold it so closely. Hold it so tightly. Read it and meditate until literally you become one with it, just like Eliezer's hand was with that sword. You see, that's true perspective and context. Let me give you some things real quickly that you should be holding on to in this season. I want you to remember this. God is for us. He is not against us. Heaven has no regrets in choosing you. I believe that the Holy Spirit longs to dwell in power and equip you for service. God is for you, not against you. Number two, you're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Listen, those that have gone before us, the Bible tells us, are in God's great grandstand and they're cheering us on. Not perfect people. That's why we read their story. If they were all perfect, we would feel disqualified. If they all had it together, where would we fit in? But in this grandstand, there are legends and misfits. There are people who were able to get their act together and there are people who struggled and misstepped and got things wrong. But listen, they are cheering you on, and we need to cheer each other on, especially in this season. Get your fight back. Let's go for God. Listen, number three, we are part of a strong team locally and globally. Maybe you feel alone. This thing, this Christian walk, belonging to the kingdom of God, is so much bigger than Apex Church. It's so much bigger than just this local community. But I thank God for the local church. But globally, we are part of a movement called the kingdom of God. You are not alone. Listen, you are part of what God is doing. Number four, never lose sight of the fact that we are in a war. That's why we're told, be sober, be vigilant. The moment you became a Christian, you enlisted in the army of the Lord. And we need to be watchful for the enemy. Let's set alarms for spiritual break-ins. Let's identify zones or areas in our life, just like at home with the alarm that I have in my home, that we can break it down into areas. Maybe you need to set an alarm in a particular area in your life that when the devil tries to break in, there's an awareness and you can stand strong and put your trust in him. And here's my last thought. Never lose sight of eternity. When you feel like giving up, keep eternity in front of you. We have come too far. Why? Listen, my friend, maybe we're in the battle, but here we go. The battle is the Lord's. In verse 10, we read these words, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Verse 12, so the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And I want to encourage you that in this battle that we're facing, and I believe that there is a battle going on, a battle of ease, a battle of apathy, perhaps a battle of discouragement, I want to encourage you that if you stand your ground, If you commit yourself to this battle, even though you're feeling weary, if you will cling to the promises of God, you are going to see victory. Why? Because you are not alone. The battle is the Lord's. You're listening to my voice, and you're saying, well, Neil, that's a great story about Eliezer. I would love to be like him. But the reason that we read about him is not only because of his great exploits, but because of the great God that he served. He put his trust in the eternal God. And my friend, as you're fighting battles, as you're dealing with situations, as you're facing challenges right now, I want to ask you this question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Is your life right with him? Can you truly say that he is Lord and Master of your life? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Being a Christian doesn't mean that everything's perfect, that everything's rosy, that there are never any problems. No, we discover that. But here's what you will find. The promises of God is he'll never leave you. He'll never let you down. And he'll never forsake you. He will always be there with you. What? God is with me in the bad times? Yes, he is. He's with me in the good times? Yes, he is. Because he's a friend that sticks closer, the Bible says, than a brother. I wonder, would you like to have a relationship with God? Would you like to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to pray with you right now. Would you just pray these words if you say, I want Christ to come into my heart? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner, but I know you are my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I confess that I'm a sinner. Now forgive me of my sin. Become my Lord. Become my Master. Become my all. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, why don't you get it in the chat right now? And we have people that will get in touch with you, because not only in this battle is God going to be with you, but the encouraging thing is there are other Christian brothers and sisters just like me who will come alongside you, cheer you on, and help you as we navigate this season of life. Christian friend, whoever it is, that God gave me this word just for you. Don't give up. Don't look around. Don't look within. Look up. Keep trusting God. Let me remind you, other people may retreat, but stand your ground. Having done all, stand. Be committed to this battle. And even though your hand is weary and you're exhausted, cling to the word of God. And I believe that God is going to give you a victory in Jesus' name. Amen.